Welcome to Coming From Experience, my virtual campfire where we can all gather round and share our experiences through this little thing called life. I'm your host, Annalise, and I'm here to bring you the raddest people I've come to know, sharing their stories of growth, evolution, and their unique take on universal experiences. The stories and experiences I bring to you in this podcast will span a wide variety of topics, from career changes to motherhood, personal development, spirituality, growth in relationship, health and wellness, and so much more. I hope that these stories inspire you and open up a portal for deep connection and conversation on topics that would otherwise be left untouched. Let's dive in. Finding what you had in mind. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Coming From Experience podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a human design focused episode today. We have no guests. It's just a little riff and a little chat that I want to have. And I love the podcasting platform. And I personally love going for a walk, putting a podcast in my ears and just soaking up the goodness like while I'm getting about my day. Like I feel like I actually take on the information so much better than if I was to sit down and like watch a video or do a workshop or something like that. So I just thought, stick with what you know, stick what feels good. And I wanted to come today with this episode of demystifying the energy types and their careers. I feel like when we talk about human design and we talk about the career trajectories for each human design type, they can get really pigeonholed. And I guess I have just been taking a step back recently where I have been viewing energy types in really, really different ways. And I'm like, how can I see this energy type in this career and how could they flourish? So that's what I want to kind of talk to today in today's episode. So we're going to start where everyone starts, or maybe we should do something different. We're going to do something different. We're actually going to start with the projector because I'm a projector and I favor projectors. I shouldn't say that, but I do. So let's start with the projector. So the projector, I feel like projectors find it really hard to find their niche. And I feel like they often feel like they need to be, lots of feelings going on here, people. They feel like they need to be a guide or like a mentor or a coach. I really, really sense that projectors feel like I have nowhere else to go but to be a guide because I'm the seer of society. I am the guide. Like I'm here to guide people. How do I do that? Okay, great. I am going to go and be a coach. I'm going to like take all this wisdom that I've, you know, acquired over my life and I'm going to share that with other people. Now, that's not inherently wrong. I just want to make that clear. Not inherently wrong, but what we see and how we guide can be so, so different. So I guess what are some of the ways in which projectors are perceived? So first of all, they're perceived as these guides of society. They're the seers of society and they're here to guide people. How can we guide people? Well, we definitely could be a coach or a mentor. I think we've got that clear. But we could also guide people as an advisor. Like they might be a business advisor. Like their role might be within a corporate environment where they are quite literally advising people on business strategies. They might work in human resources where they can see into people, see where their strengths lie, and they put them in the appropriate teams or partner them up with certain people. You know, you could be a projector and you could be a hairdresser. Like you might just see a new way of doing things in hairstyling, in makeup, in fashion. You know, they could be ahead of the trends. They could see a new perspective. They could have a creative new way of seeing things. You know, projectors definitely have this notion as being the seer, but I think we make that mean that they see into others because of their aura. But I also think their focused and penetrating aura can mean that they see into things. They see into energies. They see into all manner of you know, life. You know, projectors are inherently inquisitive. They live this life of obsession. They're very curious. They're always seeking to know more. And this can be in their vocation or it can just simply be for pleasure. So it's important that we give our projectors permission to indulge in these curiosities, in these obsessions. Like for instance, I sit down to watch a movie or a TV show and I'm obsessed about knowing everything about the people, the actors, you know, how old are they? How many kids do they have? You know, I also obsessed of looking at the human design chart. So I go and do that. But I honestly have this obsession within films and cinematography of like knowing everything. And then I have this weird knack and ability of looking at cohesion across scenes and congruity. And I'm like, oh, they fucked up there. That water bottle wasn't there. It should have been gone. Like I see that. I pick up on those things. Man, I could have a hella career in like being a film editor or being like, no, this is wrong. Like this isn't congruent. There's like no continuity here. Like they're fucked up. Like her hair was back and now it's forward. Like I pick up on all of those tiny things. Like that is just a hobby for me. I do not go and pursue that as a career, but hey, I could, because that's something I'm really good and that's good at and something that I see in the general context of the word. My partner, he is a projector. He's a 4-1 projector. Lucky bugger, bonus life. And his thing of seeing, I don't necessarily think is people. Like, and that's not to say that he doesn't have that ability, but he wouldn't revere himself as being an empathetic person or an emotionally intelligent person, even though I think he is more intelligent than he gives himself credit for in that realm. He's very intelligent generally. But the thing that I think he sees is like, deals and strategies and numbers and negotiation. Like he's fucking good at it. Like he's really, really good at negotiating with people. He's good at zooming out and like seeing all the pieces of a puzzle and being like, cool, this is the way forward. He's a strategist. Like he's really good at forming strategies and he's really good at weighing up things. And because he's not emotional in that sense, you know, from a place for him that is energetically correct, which is logic. So he takes the logic through and he's like, this is what makes sense. I see this trajectory. I see this going this way. That's a smart decision. Like that's his gift. The way he sees that is like second to none. He is a natural businessman, natural negotiator. And, you know, he works in hospitality and he has all of these other curiosities and interests that he pursues. I also want to demystify the fact that MGs are like the versatile ones in our society and they're the multifaceted, multi-passionate ones. They absolutely are. And I'm going to talk to that next because even that needs a little bit of reframing. But our projectors too, because of this curiosity and this obsession and depending on other aspects in your chart, they are also very good at doing a lot of different things. They like to be kept on their toes. They're very curious. And so that curiosity can take them to all sorts of places. I know more projectors that have become new again, who have stepped into new iterations of themselves, that have diversified in their business, that have taken on so many different, you know, way, shapes and forms. I know so many more projectors that way than that just woke up being these seers of society. So I also want to give, you know, our projectors out there the permission to just be you in whatever form that takes and to be inquisitive and to be curious and to have a lot of different things going on. That can also be very much in your alignment as it is for our MGs. So let's talk about our MGs because they're another interesting one. Again, they are the multifaceted type. They are the ones that, you know, have all of the different passions and the projects and you can't keep them still and they're just going. And like, yes, that is true. They're likely to pivot and course correct and be multi-passionate and be multifaceted. They're the standard slashies in society, like actor slash model slash activist slash, you know, Angelina Jolie. I'm pretty sure she's a MG. Angelina Jolie. She is a manifesting generator. Beautiful example of being a manifesting generator. She is an actress. She is a mother. Like that is something in and of itself. Let's just put that out there. She is an activist. She does work with the UN. Like she does a lot of charitable things. She has a lot going for her. Like she has a lot of interests and she pursues all of them. And we look at her and we go, that makes sense. Like no one questions it. Jessica Alba is another example of a manifesting generator that people resonate with. She, again, is an actress. She dances, I suppose. She did that Honey movie, so I'm going to call her a dancer. She has an Honest Beauty line. You know, when I spoke to one of my students about Jessica Alba being a recognizable MG, she was like, oh, yeah, she's the one that has the baby line. And it's like interesting that people recognize her in that way and they're not like, oh, that's that actress that tried to start like a baby line like and has all these like healthy skincare products. Like what? No one looks at an MG with confusion when they do multiple different things. Another really beautiful example of an MG in the non-traditional sense is Brené Brown. I would not look to Brené Brown and think you're an MG, you're a classic MG. I would never think that, like, if I'm honest. And look, to be clear here, I don't know a great deal about her. I did watch a Netflix special that she did and her TED talk, and I've seen her books and all of that. So like, I get an element of it, but I'm like, you're doing the same thing in different platforms, right? But that's part of the diversity too. She's a professor, she's a lecturer, she's an author, she's a podcast host. She, you know, talks about whatever feels true for her. Imperfection, the heart, daring to lead, courage, bravery. There's diversity within that. You know, there is absolute diversity in that. And that is part of the MG way, like just being diverse, being multifaceted. Like, it's within a same realm, but it's different. Tony Robbins is another example. And I was talking to a student about this and they were like, oh, really? Like, he's an MG? And I was like, yeah, but think about it. Like, he's an author, he's a coach, he's a speaker, he's a philanthropist. He, you know, does all of these different topics, and he talks about, you know, he's a motivational speaker, but he talks about money, he talks about career, he talks about breath work. Like, he just talks about all of these different things. There is diversity within that. So I just want our MGs to know that you don't have to do 50 million fucking different things. Like, you don't have to, you know, have a clothing line, have a skincare line, have a this, have a that. Like, you don't have to have all of that going on. Like, you can be one thing and express it in a number of different ways, and that can be your diversity. That can be your differentiation. That can be your multi-passion, multifaceted way of being. So you might see yourself as, you know, a business owner, and you might have a business, but you have four different businesses. You know, maybe they're retail businesses and there's just four different sites, but that keeps a passion alive because you've got four different communities that you're working with and engaging with. So there are so many ways that this can be expressed. And so just with our MGs, I feel like they do sometimes have a bit of a hard time in this realm because A, they're told that they can't be multi-passionate, and B, when they, you know, live into this multi-passionate way of being, they think that there has to be a really big distinction between the things that they love, and there doesn't. There can be a through line. It can be, you know, all within the same world or realm and express itself really differently. To kind of move on from the MG into the generator, our generator is pigeonholed into being the like 9-to-5s of our society, the workhorses, the doer. They have the strategy to respond. So we just expect that they respond to what everyone else needs, particularly the manifestors. And we're always told to buddy up a manifestor with the generator, which can be a really beautiful, harmonious relationship. But there are so many generators that pioneer, that really, really take the lead in society, that are not just doing the 9-to-5 standard thing, I suppose. I actually came across this the other day, and I was really surprised by it, but not that I follow this person at all, but Kendall Jenner is a generator. And I'm like, oh my God, if I was to guess, I would have said she was a manifesting generator because she has all of these different projects going on. And then again, without homogenizing people and without like stereotyping, and when I saw that she's a pure generator, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, if you think about it, like, she is the brand. She is the thing. Like, she is the constant, and she creates things outside of herself. And that's, a generator can absolutely do that. Remember, the only thing a generator needs to do, and our MGs, but our generators, you know, really need to follow joy. And if that lights her up, if that brings her joy, then great. Oprah is another example of a generator. And I actually have a hard time pigeonholing generators because I do feel like they get this bad rap of like, you need to go work in an office. You're the person that's pushing buttons, answering phones, doing the admin, like doing everyone else's work for them. And that's not true. Like, Oprah Winfrey hosted her own show. Like, she worked up the ranks. Like, she started out acting, I'm pretty sure. I remember this like Purple Rain, I think the movie was, or something like that. It had purple in it for sure. Don't quote me on it. That was kind of like her starting point. And then she always wanted to have her own talk show. Like, that was her aspiration. And this is the thing about generators. They generally have a point A and a point B. And they generally walk the line from point A to point B without distraction or without kind of going off course. So it's interesting that she held that vision and she was like, that's where I'm going. Now, I don't know enough about Kylie Jenner. I just don't. But she, to me, is the sort of person that was probably like, and I want to be a self-made billionaire. Self-made, questionable. But she kind of did it in her own right. and she wanted to own a company. Like maybe that was the point B. I want to own a company. And like within that company, there's all of these different branches. So yes, our generators have that steady, and I'm air quoting with my fingers here. I'm like, yeah, steady, consistent access to sacral energy only when they're doing the thing that they love, only when they are truly lit up by that. So for our generators out there, dream fucking big. You can run companies. You can be a leader. You can fucking call the shots. You can, you know, you can do all of that. And you probably get a great sense of satisfaction from being on the ground as well. One of my beautiful friends and clients is a beautiful generator. And she is an artist. She is a painter. She's so fucking talented in what she does. She creates beautiful artworks. They're intuitively guided. She's also an angel reader. Like Sarah Shinnick, I just love you. You're amazing. And she's a generator. And you know what counts for her? Fucking being lit up. And that magnetizes people towards our generators. So just being in the slipstream of what feels good is all that matters. Even if one day that's painting and then the next day it's doing angel readings. So it's so funny because everything I talk to, like you could be any type as I'm saying this, but I guess, and this is where like knowing all of the elements of your chart really matters, because there are things in people's charts that point to that. There are reasons why that comes about and where we get this differentiation, and why, yes, it's so great to talk about the energy types and like broadly and share that, like it's a beautiful thing. But when you get into the nuances of your energy, you can start to see how we need to dehomogenize people. And so the point of this was just to say there are many different ways in which you can express yourself within your energy type, and that you don't need to feel stifled by like the words that people throw out, you know, even I throw out when I'm teaching, because it is important. Like it is necessary to understand contextually like what the energy type is. And so it really is just another delayering. You know, I actually, the words I associate with generators is creative, magnetic, loyal, inspiring. You know, they're the things that stand out to me. You know, they seek satisfaction in the work that they do, and that's really important for them. And sometimes that satisfaction comes from being on the ground. You know what this reminds me of, actually? If you've seen the movie The Intern with Anne Hathaway and that cute old dude, what's his name? Robert De Niro. Cute old dude. So she is like, she created this company called Shop the Look or something. I can't remember. It's irrelevant. And she created this website and then like became the CEO and was like running the company, and people didn't think she could do it. And like, she loved being on the ground, and she'd go work in like the marketing team one day, and she'd go and work on the call centers one day, and like all of that. Like to me, I'm like, that is like the fucking epitome of what a generator can be in our life. Like they can be up there running the show, creating things, being fucking amazing, and then still want to be on the ground because it gives them so much joy and satisfaction from doing that work. Whereas you're probably not going to get that from a manifestor. So let's talk about our manifestors. Our manifestors are typically revered as being the leaders, initiators, creators, pioneers, trailblazers, and they fucking are. They 1000% are. But just because they are doesn't mean that the other energy types can't be. Okay? Everyone can be those things. It's just that it feels fucking really energetically correct and really fucking true for our manifestors to be in that place. So yes, they're visionaries. Yes, they're pioneers. Yes, they've got that whole CEO vibe going on. And yeah, they're great delegators because they just don't fucking have the energy to do anything. And that has to be respected. And I have a friend who is a manifestor who like lives into it so beautifully in one aspect of her life, where she is just like the strategist. She's calling the shots. She's like, this is what we need to do. This is what it needs to look like. And she sets and she holds the vision. Like manifestors are great at holding visions for people. Like they can really cultivate that understanding and share that with people and disseminate that and really spread that out to other people and get people on board and excited in that way. And that's where like a generator that does love working in a company, that wants to be a part of a team, that wants to do X, Y, and Z thing, they're going to feel really freaking lit up by that because they get to do the thing that they then love. So a manifestor might be at the helm going, this is the creative vision. Maybe they work in a marketing firm or an advertising firm. And again, like any manifestor will feel like they can't work in a traditional corporate world, but they could. They absolutely could. You might be the strategist, and like when you're on, and you're giving your ideas and you're doing your thing, and then when you're off. Like, we need to normalize that. Like, we just need to normalize working within our own rhythm and not on someone else's schedule. That is a whole other conversation. But they can hold the vision, and then they might have a generator that's like a creative designer who, you know, does the design work and is like, fuck yeah, I'm excited by this vision. That sounds amazing. They go off and they sit there, and they maybe sit there for 8 hours, and they create the vision and they send off the vision, and everyone's happy because everyone's winning doing the things that they love. And just to add, my designer who did my full rebrand is a projector. She's fucking amazing. And, you know, her way of seeing the design world and seeing what I needed and translating that and interpreting things, that is her way of seeing things. So sorry, I'm just circling back to the projector as it comes to me, but the way that she sees design elements and the way that she can design and the way that she shows up in her work is so fucking beautiful and is so in alignment to our projectors in that way. So again, just demystifying that, like that's how she sees others. That's how she has a contribution. That's how she makes a difference in society by giving people heart-led brands that then they can use to go and communicate to other people what they do. Coming back to our manifestors, sorry to jump around a little bit there. I do this. Bear with me. Our manifestors. So another example is Johnny Depp. And I've heard this being spoken about from HD leaders like Jenna Zoe. And which I really see this in a lot of slashy actor type people where they're like actor slash director, actor slash producer. Like I would see more of the generators being the producer people because they want to get more involved in it. And I would see more manifestors getting into the directing side of things because they want to kind of have that dictatorship has a really negative connotation, but that dictatory type of role where they're like, go here, do this. Like that's what a director's doing. They're directing the play. They're telling people where to stand, where to mark, what to do, how to express, how to emote. So Johnny Depp is a beautiful example of a manifestor. He's an actor. He's an incredible actor. But when he was acting, he would often contribute to the directing of his films. So apparently there was a lot of talk about this when he was doing Pirates of the Caribbean. Like he would just be like, I think we should do it like this. I reckon we should take it again and I should do this. And like he would self-direct in a way. So that's how he stepped into that like manifestor energy of like initiating and leading and informing as well. That's our manifestors. They can do great things. Like you could be a manifestor and you could be a hairdresser. Like you could just like be pioneering the new way of like hairdressing. You could, like I said, be a manifestor and be a strategic director of a company. You could be a manifestor that works in hospitality because you are the maitre d' and you tell everyone where to go and what to do and you keep the show running. Like you, can you start to see how we can bring and normalize these into everyday facets of our lives? How we don't have to be like fucking coaches and mentors and one way of being as like all of these energy types. Like, can we just see that? I hope we can. Lastly, I do want to talk to reflectors because I have a fucking beautiful example of a reflector, which I only came across recently and I'll come to that. But, you know, our reflectors are, they're the most beautiful energy type, but they're also one of the most misunderstood because they're so open. They like have nothing that really defines them. And I had the honor and the pleasure of working with a reflector for a good 6 months and just seeing how open they can be and how beautiful they can be and how fortified in themselves they can be. But the thing is, the biggest thing about our reflectors is that they reflect back to society. So they're kind of like this mirror. They're this check-in point. They, you know, because they're so mutable and so susceptible to their environments, they can really be a trick of how's our society doing. They become the meter for like the health of a community or an organization or whatever. So that can be like a really limited way of looking at reflectors, right? Because it's like, well, you just have to like reflect back what everyone else is doing. Like how many jobs involve that? And I just want to quickly reel off a few recognizable reflectors and then talk to one in particular. Firstly is Michael Jackson. He's probably the most recognizable reflectors. And honestly, I feel like it's reflector gone wrong, if I'm honest. And that's a bit of a judgment call. But, you know, he was a black man that wanted to be a white man. If you think about it, like talk about reflecting back on society, like what was happening at that time, kind of pushed to the nth degree and yeah, I don't know how to be PC about that, but that's how I interpret it. I'm just like, wow, he contorted who he was entirely because of the environment in which he was in, to the point of like bleaching his skin and plastic surgery and all of that stuff. It's actually really, really tragic. And I feel like that's when a reflector loses themselves. Sandra Bullock is another example. I see it. I don't see it. I don't really have any comment on that one. I think she's an incredible actress. I'm just going to leave it at that. Rob Lowe is another example. Again, I have no opinion because I don't really know much about Rob Lowe. But Margaret fucking Atwood. Let me talk to you about Margaret fucking Atwood and how, to me, she is the epitome of a healthy reflector. Margaret Atwood is an author, and I became very fond with her this year for no apparent reason. I just thought she was amazing, thought she was a great writer, hadn't read any of her books. But, you know, intuition kind of guided me to her. I even did her, or have done part of her masterclass course on writing a book. And I discovered that she is the author of Handmaid's Tales. And I was like, amazing. Like, I've never watched that either. But apparently it's great. So, you know, whatever. I got the book and she's a really interesting writer. In sitting her masterclass on the masterclass website, on the masterclass platform, she was talking about her work and she was talking about Handmaid's Tales in particular. And she was saying that people were saying to her, like, what you've written in this book is outrageous. Like, it's like, where do you come up with these ideas? Like, it's sadistic, like it's perverted. Like, I can't believe you think like this. Like, where did you get that from? And Margaret said, you know, everything I wrote in that book was happening in society one way or another. And I went, oh, fuck, that is a reflector reflecting back. And I didn't even know she was a reflector. I actually stumbled upon that by accident. When I was looking at famous reflectors, Atwood was like pretty close to the top. And I was like, holy shit. Anyway, so I was just like, wow, that's someone that is reading society that is then reflecting it back to them in a really, really creative way. So there are so many ways that we can do that. You know, you might be an auditor. You might go into businesses and just observe people and reflect back. Like, I really feel like auditing is a bit of a skill that reflectors could lean into. I find that very creative. I see a lot of creative writing within our reflectors. But again, like, you could work in any organization, in any capacity, and do anything that felt good. You could be a painter. Like, you could be, what comes through in your painting could be a reflection of what you're picking up in your environment. You could be a counselor because you know, have different metrics of seeing the world or ways of communicating certain ideas. But I just love that example of Margaret Atwood. I was just like, wow, that's amazing. So yeah, I hope this has been somewhat insightful just through the context of, we don't have to be prescriptive about this. And I really want people to feel empowered to do whatever they're currently doing, or to see a new way, to see a new way as the seer for our projectors, or the people that reflect back society as our reflectors, or the multi-passionate, multi-diverse, multifaceted MGs that, you know, can't help but do a million and one things, or our generators that have to stay the course and do the same thing and no point A to point B. And don't get me wrong, actually, a point I did want to say on the generator that I didn't. I have a lot of generators in my life, and they definitely give off this essence of like, I know what I want, I know where I'm going, and I'm going to go and fulfill that. But I also find what we often forget about that defiant cycle is that it is home to our creativity. So our MGs and our generators are like the most creative people, I think. I think everyone has a capacity to be creative, but they have this like current of energy circulating in that sacral space where they are just like, when they're in their alignment, like, oh, they're just going to have so much creative potential moving through them. And I often find that they do get like caught up in the paradigm of 9 to 5 and doing corporate things when they have all of these creative pursuits that they want to follow. Like, one of my dearest friends is a generator, and she works in a corporate job, and she's very successful at what she does. And I dare say she loves what she does in that corporate space, but she has this yearning for something more creative. And she went out and created something on social media, and she's been really successful in that endeavor as well. And it's given her that creative outlet, and you all should go and follow it. It's A Simple Stylist, all one word. She's amazing. But I do find that our generators often have this really fucking deep desire to do something creative, and they just don't. My sister is a generator. She was a really creative in the sense of like drama and singing as a kid and didn't pursue it. And like not everyone's going to pursue those little passions that we have when we're younger, but I feel like she could have been really successful at that. But she's also a teacher and she gets to live some of that out in the way that she teaches. And she's an amazing teacher. And, you know, I guess that fits into the paradigm of the 9-to-5 thing. But I mean, anyone could be a fucking teacher. My mom is also a generator and she worked in a bank for 25 years. She's now worked in her second administrative role for 17 years. And that's why I see generators as being really loyal. I feel like they're just really loyal people in what they do. And they definitely have that trajectory and they kind of stick to it once they know that it feels good or it makes them happy. The problem is that sometimes it doesn't, and that needs to be explored too. Anyway, food for thought. How can we demystify the way in which we see our career potential and our vocation and how we make money? And how can we move outside of the realm of what we know it to be or look like through this traditional sense of our energy types? And how can we allow for more flexibility and malleability and also more differentiation? Because when you get into the nitty-gritty of your chart and you start to see your gates or your incarnation cross or what energy centers you have defined or how they're communicating through channels, that's going to give you a far greater indication of like who you are and who you're here to be and what you're here to do from a vocation perspective, above and beyond the beautiful words that we associate with our energy types. And they are beautiful and our energy types feel like they're a big part of who we are, but in actuality, they represent like 5% of who we are. They're just a beautiful starting point. So thank you for being here. Thank you for coming along on the ride. I really hope this has been insightful. It has been a fun conversation for me to have. And I'm sure I will be back doing more of these episodes. But if you enjoyed it, please let me know because I can definitely accommodate this more frequently. I have lots to share. Otherwise, have an amazing day wherever you are in the world. Big love. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hope you got something magical out of this episode today. If you want to keep the conversation flowing, head over to the gram. You can find me at annalise.madrell or stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes at Coming From Experience, all one word. Be sure to share this podcast with a special someone who you think might gain a lot out of this conversation, and be sure to leave a review and let me know what you think. Until next time.